Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
I deal with teens, and most of it will be teenagers, preteens, teenagers that I refer to. But the actual kids that we work with, the kids that we have in our classrooms that are dealing with all of this. They're dealing with this new society, they're dealing with this new information, this world, and it's coming at them pretty quickly. And oftentimes we come to these conferences and we get all of the how to do this and how to do that and how to do this, which I love. But I also like to take a moment and just remember that we have kids. And this is why we're here. We're learning, we're becoming better teachers, we're becoming better educators, and it's really all about them. That's why we do what we do. So this is going to be kind of my perspective as a counselor, how this world, this techness, affects our teens and how they may in turn affect it. This is just a little comic that I really love that my parents laugh at whenever I show it at a parent night. And it's just a mom, if you can't see it real well, I'll read it to you. And it's just a mom going, Jeremy. And he's, uh-huh, as we know most kids do. It's getting pretty late, sweetie. You've been at it quite a while this evening, haven't you? Uh-huh. You know, doing his homework at the computer. So what's this bug report about? It's supposed to be at his computer working on a bug report. I have no idea. I'm still downloading the perfect mix of songs to play while writing this paper. With a little luck, I should be able to get started by daybreak. Poor mom needs some antacids. And that's our kids. You know, we give them this homework assignment, and I don't know about your schools where you're from, but we have a one-to-one laptop school, and it starts in grade 7, so all of our kids are lugging these laptops around back and forth, school home, and parents come to me and ask, why are they spending so much time on the internet doing their homework? I'm like, well, have you asked them about their playlists? Because it might be that they're creating the song, the perfect mix to write their paper to. So it just gives us a little humor to reflect on. So make yourself at home. I'm a counselor. Every counselor needs a couch. Often that's what mine can look like, working with teenagers. Who in here works with middle school-aged kids? Okay. About high school? Okay. In elementary? Okay. We won't leave you out. You're coming up. Come join us. It's a great place to be. I'm a little biased. So settle in. That's one of the things with this technology is sometimes we just need to take some time to stop and settle in and sit on the couch for a while. So our kids, they're under construction. Our kids are developing. Thinking through the kids we work at, what are some things that you could tell me that you notice developmentally, has nothing to do with technology, but just developmentally about the kids we work at your level? What are some things that you know about them?
They're social.
What else do we know about our kids developmentally? They're social. My kids in middle school are going from this, it's all about my world, to my world might be a little bigger and I don't know how to navigate that. That egocentric coming out. Developmentally, they're changing. Developmentally, middle schoolers have the brain of a toddler. They've been doing some research and showing that the growth of the brain at the time of middle school rivals that of a toddler. It is growing so quickly that they're trying to figure it all out. Sometimes their little synapses are firing, but what it is their decision-making process is what's forming. So when you ask a middle schooler, why did you do that? And he says, oh, I don't know. He might not know that impulse to action, the thing in the middle, is what's growing. That should I do it? Should I not do it? What are the consequences? Further. It's not there. It's what is developing. It is what is growing, much like a toddler. And yet we love them. They're great kids. they're social, they need this connected. They're shifting from the world is me and my parents to the world is me and my friends. They listen to what their peers are saying. They're looking for their identity. Who am I? Who do I want to be? Today they're going to be a soccer player. Tomorrow they might take up skateboarding. The next day they might like macaroni and cheese, but the day after that they're not going to. They're going to pick something else that they like. And it's ever changing. They're taking this new awareness, this new world, and going, who am I? Who am I going to be? What's my identity? How do I fit into this place? How do I fit to where it makes sense to me? Who am I? Who am I going to be? They're forming their identity. They're listening to their peers. They're social. Their brains are developing. Their physical bodies are developing. Sometimes they're comfortable in their skin, but that's rare. We've seen that with our kids. They can be pretty uncomfortable. They might be tripping over their feet. Their hormones are firing. One day they hate girls. The next day she's pretty cute. They don't know why, because yesterday she had cooties. They work in their guy-girl groups. I love my fifth grade, because I tell them I'm going to put them in a group, and they all just freeze. Are you going to put me with a girl? Not today. I'm going to let you work in your boy group, and I'm going to let you work in your girl group. I'll give you tasks accordingly. So that is all new too, that relationship. It might just be this guy-guy relationship. It might be this new, she's kind of cute. And yet with that, what do they do with it? So they've got this education that they're learning, all these things that we're teaching them, that's important. And then they have this other side of it, this relationship side, this identity side, this physical and mental development side. And they're all kind of crashing together. They're all kind of combining and putting things in this kind of chaotic ball of yarn, almost. Perfect for my kid. So they're under construction. They're developing. They're not finished. They're nowhere close to being finished. They need those boundaries. They need those guidelines for where they're at. So technology. So we've talked about kids a little bit. Kids are developing. They're going through developmental stages. That's the nature of things. That's the nature of life. Let's look quickly at technology. In the early 80s, console wars. 89, you started with those games to go, the smaller version. You know, early 80s, you had the Atari, I think it was. My brother loved it. Late 80s, early 90s, we start seeing the web come into play. 92 becomes about texting. 93, you can start browsing. Videotape goes far, far away in 97. Instant messaging. Free music, starting to download. The iPodification of America. iPods are introduced. It's amazing what we can do with them. Will you be my friend, sir? I love social networking sites. Hang out with me on MySpace. Blog, if you haven't gone to a blogging. Our kids love to blog. Did you see YouTube? They love YouTube. So we see technology go from this, I'm seated here, I've got my console, I've got my little Atari game, I'm playing. If I'm lucky, I have two handsets, and my friend gets to come over, and we're going to play too. To this, it's gotten a whole lot bigger. It's not just me and my friend anymore. It's me, whoever else I can access on the internet. So we have kids. Kids are under construction. They're developing socially, physically, relationally. Their world already is going from egocentric me to a broader perspective. I love that my eighth graders are starting to ask me more global questions. How does this affect the world? Not just, well, if I throw that paper away, my locker's cleaner. I want to know what it means to throw that paper away. What does this mean for me? Why do I have to learn this? What does it mean for the world? I love that about them. And we've seen technology kind of come along that same growth pattern. Here we are, little console wars as a database to, nope, technology is growing. Technology is becoming much more global. So in 1985, there was a movie called The Breakfast Club. Has anybody seen this movie? I love this movie. How does it portray these teens? What do you notice about these teens in the movie Breakfast Club, those of you who've seen it?
Clicks.
Hard shell.
Hard shell.
Stereotypes.
Developing sexuality.
Developing sexuality. They're all in detention on a Saturday. They have their different personas, their different identities. Do they start off one way in the movie and end in a different? Yeah, they've kind of made a journey. They've learned something new. Well then, let's jump forward a bunch of years. And we have the movie Take the Lead. How many of you have seen Take the Lead with Antonio Banderas? He's in a New York school teaching them how to tango. What do we know about the teens in this movie? Those of you who have seen it. How are they being portrayed?
Gang-like
and uncooperative. Can I say cliques? Are there cliques in here?
Yeah.
Yeah? What else?
I think a lot of the same.
Yes.
Said.
Yes. So if we look at a movie of how teens are being portrayed in 1985 with The Breakfast Club, and I was back in the States this summer, and commercials are starting to play off of The Breakfast Club and use that as one of their back-to-school shopping things. It's kind of fun. We look at a movie that is made much later to Take the Lead, and we see the same things. Our kids haven't changed. When we look at this technology and we say learning's new and education's new and our kids are new, developmentally, our kids are still going along the same track. They're being portrayed the same way. They still have social issues. They still have friendship issues. They have physical issues. They're developing. Their brain is developing. That hasn't changed. It's the same. So when the melding of the two happens, what's changing is how it manifests itself. So where kids used to go and meet at the mall, kids are now going and meeting online. They're going to places, MSN, iChat, Second Life, they're gaming together. They're meeting online. They email friends, they Skype their friends. Instead of passing notes, how many of you in elementary school used to pass those notes? Check yes, maybe, no, if you'll be my friend. That's right, we used to pass notes all the time. Now, we either send an email or we post a note on their homepage or their blog, or we're still passing them, but we're doing it this way. Instead of going to the library, we go to the internet. Instead of writing in my diary, I'm going to write online. Live journal, MySpace, I'm going to blog. I'm going to find my friends on Facebook. I'm going to find my friends on MySpace. And we're going to have our little communities. Instead of listening to music either on a tape or a CD, on their stereo, they have it on their iPod, they have it on their computer. So we're seeing the same trends, but it's manifesting itself differently. With that comes some really great benefits and some new issues that we've got to figure out how are we going to handle. You know, we know when we start talking about the internet and kids that sometime throughout the year I'm going to sit with a group of 8th grade girls who are fighting over MSN. I just know that's going to happen. And it's not going to be that it happened on this, during our school day. It's going to be that it happened that night, and they're bringing it to school with them. Whereas we used to pass notes at recess and fight on the playground. I can't believe Johnny is going to talk with her and not me. Now they're doing it at night. I love it when they try and solve problems on MSN, and they go, well, it's not working, Ms. Smith. Well, did you apologize? Well, yeah. After you told the entire class what you were fighting about? Yeah. So they'd have this new arena, this new audience. We've heard a little bit already this weekend about authentic audience. They have an audience. They're finding their identity. They're hooking up with people online. And they're just doing it in a different way than maybe what they did a few years ago. So when we look at how do we understand these kids, what do? We ask them about these things. What is MSN? What is iChat? Do you have a blog? Do you have a Facebook page? They want to show us. One of my favorite examples is we had a bunch of students last year helping us out. We're newly a Mac school, and so kids, they take it, devour it, love it, trying to train us teachers on how to use it. And one of my 8th grade girls is sitting down with one of the teachers and says, oh hey, this is really cool. I know how you can pretend to be doing your homework when you're actually working on another site the teacher won't notice. And then she looked up and realized she was talking to a teacher. She wanted to show us. She's like, look at my world. This is cool. Let me show you. So these are the things. When we ask, what are they involved in? What are they doing? They're doing the same things. It's manifesting itself differently. So society changes. Always. We've seen that. I know the music I listen to today is different than the music that my parents listen to, which is similar or different to the students that are listening to it now. Our students develop. They're on this developmental progression. Now, we've read studies that, yes, puberty can start earlier based on nutrition and things like that. But when you look at the foundation, kids are developing. They're moving forward. But these two are colliding, as it's always been. So I asked my kids. Middle school, keep in mind, 5th through 8th grade, our 7th and 8th graders have their laptops. Our 5th and 6th graders do not. I was pulling my 6th graders earlier this week asking them, when you look at the computer, what do you see? And all they would say is, we love it! Okay, what does that mean? It's so cool! Okay, we want laptops too! So that's for you. This is my principal, by the way. So tell him I'm doing great. They want laptops in 6th grade, just so you know. But that was their ability with their limited verbal cues, I guess, to tell me how much they love their laptop. They couldn't explain to me why. They could only tell me how much they just wanted it. It was this thing to be had for them. They couldn't wait to get it. So I thought, all right, I'm going to jump up a few grades and see what my 8th graders can tell me. And here's some of the things that I thought was great. They said it's a learning. I love that we've pounded that into them. A learning and educational tool. It's also an entertainment tool and a communication tool. I think laptops are great for everyday life. I see a way to socialize with friends. This one I found really interesting. Having a laptop means we're old enough to handle this kind of responsibility. So it's no longer just a machine to them. By us giving them a laptop, some of our students have said, you believe in me enough to give me responsibility, which as we know middle schoolers are always saying, I want to be responsible, I want more freedom. That is another thing they told me. Having a laptop, having this access to a computer, even if it's not a laptop, a computer, means freedom. I can't drive yet, I live in a country where I don't drive. But it's freedom. That's what they're looking for. One of my boys, when I asked, what do you see when you see the laptop? He said, my life. That was it. Two words. My life. They are defining this as more than an object. This is real to them. This is their network. I do have a Facebook page, and one of my favorite Facebook wall posts is, I love my computers because my friends live in there. I was trying to put it on here, but I didn't have a kid help me yet, so. But this is what they see. They see them reaching in, but their friends are in there. They can. That's how they connect. We used phones. We used texting. We went to the mall. We gathered on a Friday night. They're gathering online. I love it. It's my life. This one I found interesting. It's a tool that helps you relax. So when one, and this is from one of my girls, when one of our girls is stressed, she has found things on the internet, be it music, be it a TV show, be it a movie. This is where she escapes. With that comes some positives, and as we know, can have some negatives. They think it's environmentally friendly. I don't have to use paper anymore, I don't throw it away. One girl says it's an entertainment, a way to learn an our private thing. It's our private thing. And then the last one I'll read for you, find it. Oh. We love it, in the biggest bold I've ever seen. Let's see if I can find that. Oh. I feel like it is a personal thing. It kind of shows who I am. So as she, this is one of our eighth grade girls, as she's looking at things, she has defined her computer as something that is a personal thing that can show who I am. With that could be cool. These computers have so much at them, so much readily available, and yet that's scary. They have so much at them and so much readily available. So what do? We look at our perspective. How do I view this? How do I view the computer or the laptop or the cell phones in school? Or what is my thought? Because my perspective will influence how I react. My perspective will influence what I think. That doesn't make my perspective right or wrong, but that's my filter. So if I'm walking around feeling like someone's just strapped this on me and I've pushed me out of a plane, I don't know where I'm going, that's going to influence how I react, how I respond. If I think this is great and it's calm and it's peaceful, how I react and how I respond. Maybe I'm lost in the fog. Maybe I'm not quite sure. It's pretty hazy. It's a little unknown. Some things are clear, some things are unclear. It's how I'm going to respond. It's how I'm going to react when a student is doing something online or when there's something going on in my classroom. Just as our perspective, their perspective of how they see this machine, our parents' perspective is the same. How often do parents come in with questions, not because they're looking for that answer, but because they're afraid? This world is open to my child, how do I protect them? They're afraid. They're not trying to be critical. They're looking for assurance. They're looking for help. Their anxiety's high. If my anxiety's high, I'm going to respond that way. If I am scared of the internet, when I see one of my students on the internet, I'm going to still be scared, and I might react that way. Right or wrong, that's my perspective. And we need to know what that is. And so I would challenge you, no matter where we're at, if we think technology is the best thing ever, if we think the internet is the most amazing tool on the planet, if we think it is the worst thing ever invented, but we need to know that about ourselves, because that's really where we're coming from. When all this new stuff comes at us, that's my filter. That's how I'm going to see it. So that's the first thing we need to know. The second thing is we just need to listen. If I know where I'm coming from, that's going to be my filter. That gives me that awareness. That gives me that, instead of reactiveness, now I'm going to be proactive with what I'm doing. Now I need to listen. What are my kids saying? What are our kids doing? What are they involved in? I'm not going to be scared. Maybe I will be. But I'm going to put that in check and I'm going to ask them. What are you doing? Teach me that. Show me that. As I filter, as I learn more, I'm going to respond that way. I'm going to grow. They're growing and developing too. I need to listen. They're still going to have their friendship fights. They're still going to research and plagiarize a paper. They're still going to try and download a test that they shouldn't.
Instead of stealing it off the teacher's desk, they're going to try and do it this way. I need to be listening. Have that openness instead of saying, tech is great, I love it. Or tech is terrible, I hate it. Just kind of pausing, knowing my own filter, and then listening. And we always need to teach. That is so important. They're watching us. We're modeling for them, as all teenagers do. Even if they tell us to our face they hate us, we know they're watching. Our opinion is important. Their parents' opinion is important to them. Their friends, their peers, that's important. But as we know, and as we've studied, kids know if mom and dad show up. Kids know if mom and dad are involved in their lives. They know that, and it makes a difference to know. And they need us to teach that. I might not know how to hook up my laptop to this Prima screen. If you were in here earlier, you know I don't know how to do that. My kids know, but I know how to write, and I can teach them how to blog. I know how to balance my time, so I can teach them how to do that. I know how to multitask, how to, if I'm distracted by MSN, know that I can turn it off so I can focus on here before I do that. I know how to solve conflict. I can teach them how to do that. Little kids, we teach them stranger danger. We teach them, when you go out, don't talk to strangers. When you go to the mall, be aware of who's around you. Are we doing that online? It's the same concept, that stranger danger. Not everything on the internet is bad. Not everything on the internet is good. They need us to teach them. So maybe education is shifting, maybe it's changing, maybe how they're learning. I might not have to stand in front of the room and say, yes, I'm the only person in the room who knows what a map is and I can show you where China is. They can find that online, but do they know how? Do they know a reliable source? Do they know how to do research? Are they savvy consumers? Those are things that I know and I can teach them. So they're growing, they're developing, that hasn't changed. Kids aren't changing, our society is changing, they're developing. Maybe their interests are different than mine, but that's how it goes with every generation. Those issues are the same. So this machine might change how it manifests itself. I see it as a machine. Our middle schoolers at our school see it as their life. Having that perspective tells me where to start. I've got to listen. I've got to learn from them. I'm not trying to be their cop. I don't want to catch them. I want to teach them. So one of my students last year posted a terrible picture of herself on Facebook at a party. First of all, she's never been at a party. Not even close to being old enough to even think about going to a party. But she was. Okay, on her Facebook profile, she posts the picture. The world can see this picture, but she didn't realize that. I get hold of this picture. I have a Facebook page. None of the students at our school are friends of mine on that page, but I can still see their profiles. Somebody comes to me and says, hey, did you see so-and-so's picture? They thought it was cool. I go online, I look. Oh yeah, that could damage her. I go and I find her and I have a conversation. She was mortified. She was like, I was just at a party, we were having fun. I said, that's great. Well, that you were having fun. How you were having fun, I'm a little concerned about. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk about you posting this picture online. What does that mean? This is what it meant to you, but this is what it means to the world. People who could see it. They don't know you. They don't know your context, but you're building your online identity. Building who you're going to be. And this picture says one thing about you that I don't think is true. She couldn't. To her, that was a new concept. You mean the world can see it? Well, to me, I just want to go, duh. But to her, really? And developmentally, that's very age appropriate. Developmentally, for our kids to go, really? They can see that online. So-and-so down here, down the road. So like when we're blogging and an author can post from far away, that's really cool. That begins to build that awareness. Their world is getting bigger. They're not quite sure how big it actually is. So for us to be able to help that out, for us to be able to say, I'm not here to be Babcock. I'm here to teach you. I'm here to help you along this process. You didn't understand what this picture could actually mean for your life. I'm here to help you. I'm here to teach you. So I might not understand all of the interworkings. I don't understand how students can spend 5 hours downloading videos on YouTube and think it's the greatest. I'd much rather go down, grab a video, pop it in, watch it. But I do understand the other things. Your identity, how to develop that. Who you are, how to solve conflict. What are you posting? How big is the world? Who can see it? How does it impact you? How do you be a good friend? How do you not be a bully? Those are concepts that we know. They know how to do research. They need to learn it. They need to learn how to write. They need to learn math. We're there to teach them. So the tools might be different, but they need us. So as you know, we say technology is changing the face of learning. That doesn't mean we're not needed, and that doesn't mean you're not vital to these students. They need us desperately. They don't know. They might know all the workings, but developmentally, they're still learning what consequences and how that applies to their life. They need us to help them with that. They need us to teach them. They need us to be their guides, to pick them up when they fall down and pick them back together. We can learn together. But those dialogues need to happen. I'm doing a whole lot of talking, and I'm actually done.
I just like this picture because she's just throwing her hands out and saying, what are the possibilities? And there are so many possibilities open to our kids. So many. And the internet and all of these tools can open up even more. It's like what Clarence was saying last night. Who knew that a little town in remote Canada could have all the opportunities those kids have had because of something like this? So it's out there. We have to teach them to be smart. We have to teach them to be safe. Bullying online is the same as bullying in the classroom. Manifests itself a little differently. We need to teach them. Take some of this, think through some of it, even talk with some people around you. What are some ways that you can teach this practically, maybe in your classroom or with your parents? I know a suggestion is our seventh grade team has been fantastic at talking to parents at parent night and saying, you know what, technology curfews are okay. And they're a good thing, and it's okay to have them. And when I tell parents that, they just look at me, really? Yes. Just as we had boundaries when they were kids, we can still have boundaries when they're teenagers. They need it and they want it, even though they tell you they don't. They do. Those boundaries are good, and they need us for that. They need us for those boundaries. So take a couple minutes and just kind of talk through some of this with people around you.
Okay. You mentioned about grade 7, they have laptops.
No, they have 2-to-1 in their classroom. No, every classroom has computers. So we have 18 in each classroom and desktops in our 5-6 grades. And then 7-8, all the way to high school. It's up to the kids, it'll change. I'm not sure.
They're probably aware.
Is this the first year for them?
A lot of these
kids in
middle school.
Are
there separate technology classes or 5-8 program?
We have. It's totally integrated. Yes. We have technology integration people who
So there's never a class. There's a reason behind my question.
Well, we've got media literacy.
Right.
We've got a comp class. We had technology last year in 5th and 6th grade.
Okay.
They've taken that with a class and integrated it into their rooms. So really right now we just have the media lit and the communications class. Everything else is integrated. So we've done a lot of training with our homeroom teachers on what is this stuff. Let's start with where you're at, start small and build up.
How many people are the responsibility
of teaching our teachers?
Yeah. Or how many technology people are doing in the middle school?
In the middle school, we've got 4 grades, 2 tech integrationists.
How many classes per grade? The reason I ask, we have $6 million for 5 middle school next year. Traditionally, we've done.
That's me, the counselor, sorry.
And we have 6, 7, 8, we have part of our. Why do you say good luck with grade 5 in there?
Developmentally, grade 5 in a middle school can be tough if you treat them like full-blown middle schoolers.
Is that what you do? Or is there, what the plan is, are they going to modify the schedule so that they're having, the reason, the rationale is because they go from grade 5 to grade 8, that's just the teaching that's
our
5th
graders actually have math, their 4 cores,
one teacher,
in their homeroom, and their specials are specialists all around, so math, science, or social studies. Where we are trying to keep our sense of check for seeing a 5th grader at middle school and expect them to know how to manage their time, know how to do that, know how to. So that, when I say act like a middle schooler, they're not there yet. So making sure that you give them time to make that shift. That 5th grade and 8th grade are worlds apart. And so giving them that time rather than saying you're in middle school now. Are, but middle school looks like this for you. So we're going to learn how to be smart in school. We're going
to
learn.
That's a discussion we're having now, too, because the feeling is that the 6th grade has been too much of a log. They want to apply the 6th and somehow make them different. But I mean, why are you not?
I was always amazed with the son. Now talk to somebody.
And we are very, our 5th, well, and I do this because I'm visual. Our 5th, 6th are upstairs. And they're on 2 different schedules. And you. We're seeing much better the fifth grade progression of responsibility, developing, and actually, 6th graders are much more
perhaps us as educators not having opinions
to understand their schedules.
But they do have the different schedules and differences are on 7-8 are on another.
I was stunned though.
So they don't have the same lunch, they don't have the same activity nights, they don't have the same because they're just not futile and ignorant.
They'll get carried away. I mean, the wild food is not
going to do that.
Thank you, Kylie.
You're welcome. You can email me anytime.
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.